We are 24 hours away from the official opening of the Tokyo Games, and there is a lot to talk about. The ever-present threat and danger of the pandemic looms over the Games that will be like no other. AOC boss John Coates publicly ordered the Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk to attend the opening ceremony just moments after the 2032 Games were awarded to Brisbane. Jake Sturmer is the ABC News' North Asia correspondent. He joins me from Tokyo. Hello. Let's start on a positive note, why don't we? This time tomorrow night, the final touches will be put on the opening ceremony. What can we expect?
Yeah, look, I think forget the mass choreography, the big props and all of the dancers and lights that we've seen from Olympics in the past. I don't think there'll be any of that splendor or grandiosity at all. It's probably going to be a very scaled down affair, quite a sobering performance, I think. But what it will have, I am certain, is beautiful Japanese aesthetics. You know, I think it'll be beautifully designed, beautifully put together. The event itself, even though it's being sort of held in the middle of the pandemic, it will just have the beautiful Japanese allure somewhat mixed in with the sentiment of today and the reality of the pandemic that we've all lived in for the last 18 months.
And it's not been without a late burst of controversy. The ceremony's director has been fired today over some remarks about the Holocaust. What's happened?
Yeah, well, where do we begin on this one? They sacked the creative director of the event, Kentaro Kobayashi. He'd made jokes about the Holocaust in a stand-up routine in the 1990s. He's actually the second creative director of the opening ceremony to go. Earlier this year, Hiroshi Sasaki had suggested that a plus-sized Japanese entertainer could be lowered into the stadium dressed as an Olympig. But it gets worse. There's more. This week, a composer involved in the ceremony quit after it emerged that he'd boasted about bullying classmates with disabilities when he was at school. So we heard today from the organising committee's president, Seiko Hashimoto, her job having to deal with all of this. She said that they were very quickly reviewing the entire opening ceremony, but I think the reality is with 24 hours to go, there's probably not a lot that's really likely to change.
And how many people will actually be in attendance? It looks like the Queensland Premier will be there after all, at the very public insistence of the AOC boss.
Yeah, it was quite an interesting interaction. I think we're expecting around 950 delegates and VIPs there. But what's interesting is that only 150 of them will actually be Japanese. It's more who won't be there, I think, that's the most revealing. Big sponsors, Toyota, Panasonic, Fujitsu, Asahi, and many others will skip the ceremony. Toyota also decided it wouldn't run any ads linked to the Games earlier this week. So I think the fact that, you know, these companies are not necessarily wanting to be too closely associated with it sums up a little bit about the mood and sentiment towards the Games here. Of course, though, Premier Palaszczuk, the Brisbane Lord Mayor and the Federal Minister will be there at the insistence of John Coates last night, which was, interesting. I think it speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. What a diplomatic word. He's put out a statement saying, you know, he was misunderstood, misinterpreted. But look, you know, I've got very, you know, high profile people sort of saying he did the wrong thing. So it's pretty much been attacked here. Look, let's talk about Brisbane being announced as the host city of the 2032 Games. It's been a much celebrated announcement. I suppose the world's rather bleak at the moment, isn't it? But was it ever really in doubt?
Look, PK, I honestly don't think it was. I think the IOC had suggested earlier in the day that, oh, look, maybe they could go back to the drawing board, that there were other cities potentially in the mix. But the reality was that was just a drum-up suspense. When the Brisbane was given this preferred bidder status earlier in the year, it effectively meant that it wasn't up against any competition. And subject to something catastrophic or unforeseen, it was very likely to win the Games. And so what we saw last night was a presentation from the Queensland Premier and the Lord Mayor all, you know, singing the strengths of Queensland, the love of sport and the natural beauty and the fact that many of the venues were done. All of that was sold as pitching Brisbane, but the reality was most people in the room already knew that Brisbane was very likely to win.
And I wanted to briefly touch on what happened with the Matildas opening game last night. The 2-1 win over New Zealand was an excellent start. But before kickoff, our team posed in front of the Aboriginal flag, then linked arms in a sign of solidarity with the Kiwis who took the knee in a stance against racism. It now seems images of athletes taking the knee are banned from the official Olympic and Tokyo 2020 social media accounts. Why?
Well, it's a really interesting one. We haven't heard officially from anyone yet, but the IOC recently relaxed a rule that banned athletes from making any kind of demonstration or political or religious or racial propaganda at Olympic sites or venues. Now, the fact that that change meant that peaceful protest is allowed on the field of play, provided it's done without disrupting the match or, and you know, with respect for fellow competitors. What we also saw on top of the Australian team posing in front of the Aboriginal flag was that earlier in the day, the Great British, Chilean, US, Swedish and New Zealand teams, they all took a knee in protest against racism and hate, but that wasn't seen anywhere. The fact that it wasn't on any social media channels was quite interesting. We've seen some reporting from The Guardian that shows that that was actually a deliberate decision by the IOC and organisers, not putting that on any of their social media accounts, which have very large followings. So despite this relaxation of the rules, it seems the IOC hasn't quite figured out where it stands on it all and necessarily publicising these kind of displays.
And while many people are looking to the games with some excitement, the pandemic still looms, and we've heard a lot about whether this could be a super spreader event. I mean, is that kind of, will it go on despite anything? Is there a chance something would be called off? What's the protocol?
I think at this point it's highly unlikely we'll see the games called off. The numbers would have to be extraordinarily higher, and you'd need to see, I think, quite a few deaths and serious infections, which the good news is we're yet to see. The bad news is that numbers are at six-month highs, which is hardly what you want one day out from the opening ceremony and the grand spectacle that the Olympics are supposed to be. I think people are just starting to get fed up with it. You see bars openly defying requests to close from the government, and they're serving alcohol. And that's why you're seeing a large number of infections from people in their 20s and 30s and 40s, the people that are going out to these sorts of places, but not so far the spike in deaths or serious cases. The hope is that that continues and those people who are getting it are not necessarily spreading it to family members. But we won't know that, and we won't know how effective the current state of emergency is for a couple of weeks.
Jake, I hope you have a safe COVID-free Olympics. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, PK.